the 15th chapter, the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to drop down to the end of that chapter, the last two verses. We're going to miss a lot of stuff that's in there that I'm sure has come to some of your mind, you know, oh, death, where's your sting, and all the other things that God has done in that chapter as Paul was talking to the Corinthian church. But today is just verses 57 and 58, 57 and 58, and it reads, but thanks be to God, I would want to insert his for his goodness and his mercy, but that's not what it says right here, but that's what I believe it means too. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, for his goodness and his mercy. I just got to say, because it's because of his goodness and his mercy. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, you can go to work sometimes and your labor will be taken in vain. You are not appreciated by the corporate places that we work sometimes. All of us have had that feeling. But it says here that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Your labor, be ye steadfast.
Yes, Lord.
Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
My God.
And today, the Lord says, only what you do for Christ will last. Only what you do for Christ will last. I read the words to the song. You might build great cathedrals, large and small. You might build skyscrapers grand and tall. You might conquer all the failures of the past, but it's only what you do for Christ will last. You might have earthly power and fame. You might be people be impressed by your name when you say my name. Oh, that somebody says, say my name. The only name I want to say is Jesus, because all that other is fame and it ain't got nothing to do with nothing. But only what you do for Christ relax. Your armies may control hemisphere. You might have power halfway across the world, but it don't matter. You might go into space because men to cheer, but your scientific knowledge may be vast, but it don't matter, because only what you do for Christ was left. I didn't write the song. The song was written a long time ago, but now you got people trying to go to outer space and put their name on it. Go ahead. But you didn't create the universe. You didn't create the stars. Didn't God remind Job about that? He's going to remind the rest of them about that too. Though your song and prayers are heard and praised by men, though they seem nothing more meaningless, but you've been born again. If you haven't accepted Jesus as your personal savior, pray until the spirit come down, pray until folks shout. But if you don't know Jesus, it ain't got nothing in it.
My God.
Says only what you do for Christ will last. Well, I just want to remind us, and I've done this before, that God has something for us, and he tells us there's a reason why we work. So just look and understand why we work.
God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good.
Matthew chapter 24 verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
The reason that we do the work is that somebody might be saved, that somebody might accept Jesus as their personal savior. For without Jesus, they will be the ones left behind that will be sent to the lake of fire, that will live their lives in torment. And that's not what we want for you. Jesus said, I come to seek and to save all that was lost. It's not to say we got a big church. It's not to say, oh, we got one more. It's to do the work for those who don't know him, that they might be saved. In the process, there's other things that are blessings from God that we do. So today, only what we do for Christ will last. So the first thing today, what are we going to do? There's a couple outlines we look at here. The first thing we do, it says to be steadfast. To be steadfast is the Herodias. It said what? The firm. We're going to be firm. We're going to be fixed. That we won't just walk around and go in and out. We won't just believe any old kind of thing. It's got this exhortation said, we got to be steadfast. Not just steadfast to say I stand, but in the work of the Lord, in the word of the Lord, steadfast about our doctrine. What do we believe? Well, it's in the Bible. You know, it's in this 15th chapter. If you go to 1 Corinthians 15 and you go to verses 3 through 4, Paul told them what we got to be steadfast in. He says, what? For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how what? Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's number one. Christ died for you. That's our first message to somebody. And look, Christ died for you. You need to know that. You need to believe that. Then it says what? That he was what? Buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to Christ died and he got up. We got to be steadfast in sharing that gospel. We don't have to be steadfast in all the stories, but we got to be steadfast in letting people know that Christ died for you. He loves you. He provides for you. We got to be careful because sometimes we talk about all the blessings and we never ask the person, do you know Jesus? Is Jesus the head of your life? Did you accept his invitation of salvation?
My Lord.
Would you like to do it now? We make some assumptions. When I was in California, we made an assumption because a man came to church all the time and he hadn't accepted Christ. He knew God loved him. He loved the stories. He believed all the things, but he had never asked Jesus to be the head of his life. And everybody assumed that he was. And one day somebody asked him. And he will, no, I've never done that. I do want to, but I don't know how. And a gentleman prayed the prayer of faith with him. And three Sundays later, when he was getting baptized, people were like, huh? I thought. How many people are in our lives and our circle of influence, and we've never asked them, have you accepted Jesus as your personal savior? Well, I ain't supposed to have conversations like that. Yes, you are. That's what he says when he says, be steadfast about be firm, be fixed on what? It's about the word. It's about Jesus. It's not about possessions. It's not about justice, but it's about Jesus as Savior.
Yeah.
The blessings are all the good stuff that comes once you accept him as your Savior. But first things first, he said, you got to be fixed. You got to be steadfast. And you don't just want to look to go to John 14 and 19. Jesus tells us there, and he says, look, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live what? Also. Say, the world ain't going to see me. But you see me, and when you see me, because you know me and you've accepted me, you'll always see me. You'll always know that I am who I said I was. You'll always know that what? I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. You'll always what? Be secure in your understanding. You'll always what? Be fixed and firm on that foundation.
My Lord, my Lord.
You won't be a King Agrippa. And Paul said, he said, almost. You won't be playing horseshoes with Jesus. Close, don't get it.
My God.
Leaning up against the post, don't get it.
Jeez.
You got to have a ringer. You got to accept Jesus into your life.
Thank you, Lord.
He said, only what we do for Christ, or only as we share the gospel, only as we ask someone to accept the gospel, only as we evangelize, only as we go out and do, only as we do these different things. Then all of a sudden we see the benefits of the testimonies we heard. How because we've accepted Christ, we're steadfast and firm. God brings about reconciliation. As we're steadfast and firm, and Lord, God sends you to people one by one by one. Did not simply say there were three people? Did not God show how much he loved the people? The last man trying to buy a few things, car didn't work, didn't have enough money to get what he was trying to buy. God showed his love what? Look here, somebody loved you enough because God says so that they gonna buy it for you?
My Lord. My
Since
Lord.
You work, I don't know, but somebody standing in need.
Yeah.
And God provided.
Sam.
Have you stood in need?
Mm.
Do you stand in need today? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Do you know that only what we do for Christ, we can do all manner of works? But the work that the Lord wants us to do is evangelize and tell people about Jesus Christ. He says, then look at here, look at here, look at here. He says what? Stay unmovable.
My Lord.
Unmovable. Immovable. Can't be pushed easily. Can't be gotten off track. Can't have somebody take it away. Why? Because the word says what? That it's built on a solid rock.
My Lord, my Lord.
You know the parable of the soils, the parable of how, if you build it on the wrong kind of soil, it won't grow. If you build your house on a soft, sandy foundation, it's not going to stand. But it said, upon this rock,
yes,
an unmovable foundation. Look at what the word says. Look at what the word says. If you look at the word and go to Colossians, in the first chapter of Colossians, there's something you need to read, something you need to read. And I want you to read it on your own so you really get, you got to read it. I'm going to read some of it now, but you got to go back and understand. Say, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Uh-oh, somebody need to understand that. Right there, you were just blessed. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. COVID ain't going to mess with the gospel. COVID can't move the gospel. Being isolated can't move the gospel. The government can't move the gospel. Political parties can't move the gospel. Presidents can't move the gospel. Senators can't move the gospel. You can't move the gospel. The gospel stands on itself. We need to understand the solid foundation. What? Yeah. The hope of the gospel, which we have heard, which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, which I am Paul, what, made a minister, who what, now rejoice in my sufferings? Paul said, look, because of the gospel and the hope of the, I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up what, that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for what, his body's sake. So the next time you think about your suffering, think about that it's for Christ's sake. And if it's for Christ's sake, then suffer. If I gotta suffer, let me suffer. Think about Joseph and what Joseph said. Yeah, brothers, you sold me into slavery. Yeah, brothers, I've suffered some miserable, crazy, mad kind of stuff. Yeah, brothers, I should be pissed. But guess what, brothers? I'm happy for the gospel's sake, for what God said, because God showed me what I was gonna be. And now God has fulfilled what he showed me, that I can do what? I can save you. I can provide for you. I can nourish you. I can increase you. I can care for you. Look, God said, we got more that's coming. There's 5 more years, but I will take care of you. Did not God, Jesus, tell us that? He said, what? I promised to send you what? A comforter, the Holy Spirit, which will guide, lead, and direct you to all things. You won't be without knowledge, because I'll teach you anything you want to know. It ain't the college, it's the Spirit. I won't leave you comfortless. I will be with you. When you need some food, I'm going to give you food, whether it's physical food or spiritual food. When you need shelter, I'll give you shelter. I'll give you a house. But when you need to be sheltered from the storm, I'll cover you. When you need to be sheltered from the attacks of the enemy, the fiery darts won't bother you, because I got a breastplate of righteousness and a helmet of salvation and a shield of faith. And when they come your way, I know how to block it, because my word will stand. And when I put my word, you will speak to the enemy, and he's got to flee.
Say on, preacher. Say on.
That's being unmovable. That's being unmovable. Then he says what? He keeps going on. Who now rejoice? I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that what is behind in my afflictions. Mm. You rejoice in your afflictions? Sometimes we forget that we can rejoice. Sometimes we forget what can happen. But I'm telling you, God has been showing us how we can rejoice in our afflictions. I've been in a place of rejoicing. Just rejoicing for God. And it's not for me. It's not for me. It's for you and others, that you know and you can see that God's word is true. You can rejoice in your afflictions.
Yeah.
You can rejoice when you don't have what you used to have. You can rejoice when you're doing things that you never thought you'd have to do. You can rejoice when God's giving you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to do what he said. You can rejoice when everybody trying to get a piece of you. It don't matter what they want. It's what God has for you.
Thank you, Lord.
He said, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me, that even the mysteries which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his. These things were hidden from us, but now we know.
Amen.
Now we know.
Glory to the Lamb.
There's nothing new under the sun. Now we know. The fullness of where, now we know what the future said. Didn't you know he took Paul to the Isle of Patmos to write these things so that what, we would have a preview of what's to come? A preview of the good things? A preview of the warnings or the bad things? When he talked about the churches, he said, look, there, God's got an order against you. Why? Because there's some things you ain't got rid of. Some of y'all trying to go the middle path. You're trying to please everybody. So you neither hot nor cold. I'll spew you out my mouth. Did not Solomon get the same instructions? Don't mix. Don't mix. They will cause you to turn away from your God. Don't mix, my brothers and sisters. Don't mix with the world. It will cause you to turn away from your God. It will cause you to see things as they're not. You will see thinking that's in the word. It is not. Don't mix. Don't turn away from God. Stay on this wall. As Nehemiah said, we're doing a good work. I can't come down. Don't tempt me with my relatives. Don't tempt me with my best friends. Don't tempt me that, oh, we'll negotiate, make everything all right. No, it's about Jesus the Christ and Jesus only. No, it's about my God and the restoration of what he says. No, I have to be on a firm foundation. I got to be steadfast and unmovable. I will not. I shall not. I can't be moved.
My Lord.
He says, what, to whom God had made known is the riches of the glory of this mystery among what? The Gentiles, which in Christ in the hope what of glory. Nobody wanted, the Jews did not want the Gentiles to be saved. Paul used to be one of those folks. But now here he was preaching the word of God to the Gentiles that what? All might be saved. Who's not like you that needs to be saved? That you need to share the word with and put aside your worldly differences that the world says is a problem. But in the name of Jesus, every believer under the name of Jesus Christ is one body, one family, many members, but one body. And we ought to want that all would be saved. We ought to want that all would be loved. We ought to want that all would be blessed. We ought to want that all would seek his face and all would surrender to him so that we all can live in love. We ought to know that all of us will be reconciled one to another. The Gentiles are reconciled. Out to the Jews, those who would accept, those who didn't, they had to go because they never accepted Jesus. And in the end day, they're going to be left behind because they did not accept Jesus the Christ as their personal Savior. You don't want nobody that you know or have an encounter with to be left behind. So tell them about Jesus the Christ. Ask them the question, do you know Jesus? Have you accepted him as your Savior? When they say, what are you talking about? I don't want to hear that. I'm talking about joy, peace, and love. I'm talking about a blood that was shed. Everybody's got, if you just give me a few minutes, I'd love to ask you and talk to you about the love and tell you how I came to know him as my Savior.
My Lord.
And your light will shine through the darkness.
My God.
That's in their life and prick their hearts. Paul says, whom we preach, what, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So, yeah, I know you've made some mistakes, been some places, done some things that you ought not have done. So have I.
My God.
But I don't walk in guilt over it.
My God.
Because Jesus has paid the price for me.
Thank you, Jesus.
My sins have been forgiven.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he wants to forgive you of yours.
Mm. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank
you. He says, where unto what I also labor, striving according to what his working, which worketh we might what? And me might. He said, this ain't an easy thing. Say, this thing is so strong in me, I can feel it on the inside. It's just bubbling up and it's just gotta come out. That's the love of Jesus, and that's what it does in your life. But don't just believe it there. He said it again. Look at Hebrews in the 6th chapter. In the 6th chapter, Hebrews in verses 17 to 20, he said, look, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it, what, by an oath. Uh-oh, by an oath, God said that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon what? The hope set before us, which hope as we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters what? Until that within the veil. Where the what? The forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after all. He said, this is immutable. This can't be moved. This is the fat jack.
My Lord.
That's my favorite line from a movie. That's a fat jack. These soldiers stayed up all night in the movie Stripe. They worked hard because they weren't prepared, but they stayed up all night to be prepared to do their drill. And when it was time, they did their drill. They didn't look all pretty. They were battered and beat. He said, did you guys do this all night? He said, yes, sir, that's a fat jack. And I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, that's a fat He died on the cross. That's a fact. He got up on the third day. That's a fact. He loves you and me. He shed his blood to save us. It's a fact. He's coming back. It's a fact that we no longer have to suffer. It's a fact that we have eternal life and all the riches and glory. It's a fact that he's given us power over the enemy. It's a fact that he will never leave us. It's a fact he will heal us. It's a fact. It's a fact. It's a fact. Jesus, under no other name, is Jesus. Under no other fame, is Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what the world needs to hear. Only what we do for Christ. Not all our degrees, not all the money we make, not all the places we've been, all the places we've seen. Some of us don't want to go to places we need to go. Now, I ain't got to go there. If I never go there again, I ain't got to deal with that. I'll go where I want to go, where I know I'm accepted. I'll go where I want to go, where I don't have to deal with people watching over me. I'll go where I want to go, where I'll be, I won't be the outsider. No, we go where God sends us.
Yeah.
Paul was the outsider. He was a Jew in Gentile territory. But he had a word. He had a word. He had salvation in his hands. Then the third thing it says here, so what? Always, 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 always abounding in the work. Always abounding what? In the work of the Lord. Not the work in the church, not the ministries in the church, but the work of the Lord. Everything we do for Christ ought to lead some 20 somebody to salvation. If they're hungry, you need to feed them. If you feed them, now they'll listen that you cared enough about me that you can share the word. If they have need of financial aid and you provide some aid, then now you've got their attention that what? You can speak to their hearts and talk about what Jesus would do beyond the little aid that we provided. It's a fact that if we're talking about relationships, if you don't do anything and having a relationship, you have nothing that you can tell them about Jesus because they're still in the place. But as we give them the word of God, it heals the relationships and put them in a place that guess what? Now they can stand and be still and watch how God would transform things. And when God does it for you, I guarantee you without a doubt, he's going to send somebody by. Didn't you hear Deacon Thomas say, this was my sister, and guess what? Now that God has taken her to a place to be beyond that, look what God has done, because he's now sent her somebody that she's got to talk to about her own pain. She's not thinking about her pain. She's thinking about how she can take the pain away from this person. Did not you see? That's what God does over and over and over. He just shows you a way that once I've done it for you, I'll help you to help somebody else understand I can do it for them.
My God. My God.
That's the work of the church. That's what God calls us to do. It's here in the sixth chapter. Look at it in verse 10 of the sixth chapter. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, and that ye have what? Ministered to the saints and do minister. God said, I'm not going to forget your name and what you do when you go out and do what I told you to do and minister to what? To the saints. Ooh, look at God. And minister to the what? To the saints. And minister to what? To the saints and do minister. If you get this word and he's done it for you and you sit down and you don't go do this thing, God is not pleased, because only the work that we do and for Christ will last. You got to go minister. You got to push through your pain. You got to push beyond the things that you see and minister as God directs you to minister. If you don't, you're not fulfilling the work and not fulfilling the blessing that God has placed in you. We need to say, okay, God, I'm done worried about my pain. You took it away. You healed me. You turned me around. You lifted me up. You blessed me beyond measure. Now I got to go minister to somebody, because somebody needs to know I once was without money, but God provided for me. I once was lost in sin, but now God has given me a mansion. I once was just wallowing around not knowing what to do, but now you're ordering my steps every day. And God, I don't care where you send me, whether it's up or whether it's down, whether it's left or whether it's right. I know that you got me, and because you got me, I will be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in your love.
My God.
You can't make it up, y'all. You can't make it up. It's in the word.
Amen.
It's in the word. It's in the word. Look at that. For God is not unrighteous to forget. Don't say nothing. When's the last time you thought God forgot about you?
My Lord.
Somebody right now is thinking, you know, God didn't hear me when I prayed the other time. Ain't nothing happened yet. my family's still sick. I'm still depressed. I'm still going through. No, God heard you. God knows all about you. God has given you something to do, and you just ain't done it yet. Or you might be trying to rush the process. God said, I want you to stay there for a minute because I'm sending you some work. Somebody going to stop by that needs you. Somebody going to stop by that's going through the same thing you're going through. Somebody going to stop by. You're going to tell them about me and how I brought you through. Then you'll realize the plan that I have for you. And their plans to prosper you. Plans to have you do what I'd have you to do, that my kingdom might be built, that my kingdom might expand, that my purpose in life was whosoever will, let them come to that purpose. That I came to seek and to save all. It's still going on because I'm still seeking and trying to save all. Okay. And I'm doing it through you.
Yes.
Okay. And then in Romans, over in Romans and Romans 8 and 18, he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. Oh, the sufferings that you're going through, the sufferings that you see, they're not worthy to be compared to the glory when we get with Jesus. They're not worthy to be compared. Let me bring it a little closer home. To the glory we feel when we acknowledge Jesus. They're not worthy to be compared to when we just offer God praise. When we sit and offer God praise. And we sit and offer God glory. When we sit and dance before the Lord. None of our sufferings are worthy to be compared with the joy that comes with Jesus. None of our sufferings are worthy to be compared with the promises of God. None of our sufferings are worthy to be compared. Don't you dare do it. I know we try. I know we speak some things. I know we begin to think some things as the enemy, but don't you do it. I tell you now, make up your mind. You got a made up mind that ain't nothing that happens in your suffering that can compare to the glory and the joy of God. Nothing that happens in your suffering can compare to that God saved you. Nothing that happens in your suffering can prepare that God has anointed you. Nothing that happens in your suffering can compare to the knowledge and power that God has placed in you, that in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. In the name of Jesus, every tongue confess. In the name of Jesus, he's played a light in you, and that light will cover up any kind of darkness that comes your way. In the name of Jesus, he's made you his heirs, so you got the power of the king. You got the power of the throne. You got the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that every knee has to bow. Everybody has to be subject. And so when somebody said, why are you so blessed? Because I give it all to Jesus. Why are you so blessed? I'm still struggling. I don't know what you're doing, but all I know is I give it all to Jesus. Yeah, I know what I'm not feeling like doing. God gives me the strength. I know when I don't feel like going, God gives me the strength. I know when I'm mad, I can piss fire. God takes away my pain. He takes away my anger. He replaces it with my love. He replaces it with his joy. He replaces it with his long suffering. He replaces it with his peace. He replaces it with the opportunity that I look beyond faults and I see the needs, because I see what Jesus sees. And when I see what Jesus sees, my heart gets happy, and I got to go to work to let somebody else see that Jesus loves them. And because Jesus loves them, everything will be all right.
My God.
Only what you do for Christ will last. I just got one other thing I want to share with you about this 15th chapter of Romans, of this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. In this 15th chapter, Paul made a long dissertation here, but there was something unique in what he did. There were seven times he used the word but. He used the word but seven times. And because he used the word but seven times, he was connecting some things. So he was continuing this story. This last one, this last one, this last one, this last one in verse 57. This last one in verse 57. Look at here, he said, but. He said, after all the things that happened, he said, but. He said, after he said, oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the string of sin, the strength of sin is the law. That's what he declared. That was the fact. Then he said, but. He said, but for the seventh time. Seven is the number of completion. He said, now that I'm talking to you in this Corinthian church, and I get down to the end of this letter, I get down to the end, but for the seventh time, now I'm going to conclude the whole matter. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, which giveth what? Us the victory. The victory what? Through Jesus Christ, who conquered sting, who conquered death, that it left no stain on him. It has no place on it. But thanks be to God, who giveth us. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye. He said, because I said but, because it said Jesus Christ, therefore, because I said but, guess what? Now we have the victory. He said what? Now you can be. Because of the but, you can be therefore immovable. You can be steadfast. You can always abound. God is saying, but to you, but to remind you that don't be talking about the things of your past. Don't be talking about what your last. Don't be talking about how you did do this, that, and the other. Stop talking about what the world got. Stop talking about COVID. Stop talking about presidential nominations. Stop talking about all that stuff that separates us, and start talking about Jesus the Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Because here's what I got to tell you. And I know it's tough. I know it's tough. There is no salvation in any of our political parties. There is no salvation in any of that.
Amen.
Salvation comes in Jesus.
Yes.
Salvation comes in Jesus. And what the world needs now, as they Dionne Warwick, you say, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. Well, I got a different take on that. There's a whole lot of love in the world. Jesus gave the world more love than it would ever need. But ain't nobody talking about it. We're talking about all the other stuff. But we ought to be talking about Christ.
No.
Word says only what you do for Christ will last.